presenting Orson Welles as the Third Man. The Lives of Harry Lime, the fabulous stories of the immortal character originally created in the motion picture The Third Man, with zither music by Anton Kara.
You come in the theater just as the curtain is going up. The band's playing something exciting, Latin American. The stage is alive with color and dancing against the background of a marketplace in Central America. Suddenly, someone with a Spanish accent as broad as the East River shouts, El General, and everything comes to a halt. El General sweeps in wearing a broad sash, handlebar mustache, and a big menacing frown that scares nobody. He mutters something about La Revolución. A couple of shots ring out, a few chorus boys drop gracefully to the ground, and the entire company breaks into the first big production number. But revolutions aren't like that. There's no music playing, no scantily clad dances, no comics. The guns have real bullets in them. I know. I was mixed up in one of them. I'll tell you about it.
And now, Orson Welles as Harry Lime, the Third Man in Pursuit of a Ghost.
There's no sense in identifying the Central American country where I found myself in the fall of 45. Any of those who were involved in the revolution are still alive, of course. I've caused enough trouble. Anyway, I was in a waterfront cafe in the tiny country's capital, and there were only two of us at the bar, yours truly, Harry Lime, and a derby-hatted little Englishman who looked about as much at home as a burlesque queen at a church picnic.
Yeah. How about having a little drink with me, Governor?
Oh, thanks. I don't like drinking alone either.
Oh, American, eh?
Yeah.
Well, I thought for a moment you were English.
Sorry to disappoint you.
Oh, it don't make no difference. Although I was hoping for a word about home. What'll it be, Governor?
No scotch, if they have any more.
Hi there, matey. How about finding a little scotch for the gentleman here? Scotch para el caballero.
Si, senor. Scotch para el norteamericano. Pronto, senor.
Oh, gracias, amigo.
You never learned that lingo in petticoat lane.
You're right, there you are. I've been in this blooming country for 10 years now. There's plenty of brass here, I can tell you that, I can.
Money, I've heard of this stuff. It's been a long time since I had my hands on it.
Oh, down on your uppers a bit, aren't you, Governor?
You said it, man.
Scotch, senor.
Thanks, gracias.
No trouble was it, senor. No trouble.
Well, here's to your increased fortune.
And to yours. You've been here a long time. You might be able to steer a fellow onto a good thing.
There's no way of making an easy living here, there ain't. The blinking government controls all the gambling, the lotteries, the casinos, everything. And if the revolution succeeds, it'll be worse.
Revolution?
Oh, maybe I shouldn't have let that little bit of information
slip. It's all right. I don't go around talking. How'd it be worse?
Well, it's this way, Governor. For a long time now, a bloke they calls General Valdez has been brewing a spot of trouble. He's a rough customer, he is. But up till now, he ain't had the money to buy arms and ammunition and hire soldiers.
And now he's got the money.
No, that he has. A gent from the States is financing him.
American financing revolution?
One of them blokes you call gangsters up in the States. He'll have a good thing, he will.
Still, he's taken an awful chance. If revolution fails, he'll be facing a firing squad.
Not bloody likely. He's too smart for that. The way I hears it, he comes down here, he makes his deal with General Valdez, and then he hightails it out of the country, goes to Havana someplace to wait it out until Valdez is sitting in the driver's seat.
He's left the country, eh?
That's right, Governor.
I suppose he stands pretty well with the revolutionists. You know, I used to know a few guys who got mixed up in the rackets back in the States. I wonder happen to know the general's friend?
The one who's financing the revolution.
Yeah, do you happen to know his name?
No, that I don't. Down here, they just call him El Sorrel. It means the fox, and he's that all right, I guess.
The way I saw it, this New York gangster wasn't going to be the only foxy guy to make a good thing out of the revolution. The important thing was to make contact with General Valdez first. A half a dozen different kinds of pitches went through my mind as I headed for his stronghold.
You are a friend to El Zorro?
That's right. Glad we're both on the same team. I'd hate to have a fight with you.
Huh?
You're the biggest and strongest looking fellow I ever saw outside of a sideshow.
You are a friend of El Zorro, huh?
Mm, he told me to come down here from New York. We were pals together back there. I guess he had some sort of job lined up for me. I'd like to talk to General Valdez about it.
All right. General Valdez will speak to a friend of El Zorro. Follow. Bien.
It's Jose, El General.
Enter usted, por favor.
This senor is friend to El Zorro. He tell him to come here.
He told you to come here?
They were close friends in New York.
I see.
He wrote me all about you. Said he thought we'd speak the same language. We ought to get acquainted.
When did he write to you?
Oh, well, it was quite a little while ago. When I was tied up and the letter came, I got down here as soon as I could.
You were tied up?
Well, the truth of the matter is I was broke. I had a hard time raising the price of the passage, but I figured if there's anything I could do to help a friend of El Zorro, I...
You're still broke?
Stony old man.
Yeah. Jose, get $200 from the safe. Give it to Senor...
Harry Lime, and I certainly appreciate the...
We will not mention partners. It, though money is very scarce with us just now.
Scarce? I thought El Zorro gave you all the money you needed before he left for Havana.
So, it is to Havana he's gone.
Yeah, send me a postcard from there. It was forwarded here. Great guy.
We do not think he's such a great guy.
What?
Here's the money, senor.
Well, thanks. What's the trouble between you and El Zorro?
He's a very clever man.
Mm.
We made an agreement. Perhaps one you knew about.
Oh, sure.
He was to finance half of the revolutions, my compatriots, the rest.
Yeah, sure, I knew all about that.
He was to handle the fighting, he was to take care of the finances, the procurement of guns and ammunition.
$1 million that we have collected, we turn over to him.
And by morning, he had disappeared. So he's in Havana, eh?
Well, that's what I heard, but I...
You will go to Havana and bring him back.
A what?
You will need money in your pocket, of course. That is why we have given you part of what little we have left. But you will not double-cross us. You will be watched at every moment. Should you make one false move, a bullet will enter your back.
Look, I think I ought to tell you something. I'm not a friend of his. I never met him in my life. I don't even know what he looks like.
It's a big joke, eh?
Senor Lime is very comic, gentlemen.
Not being funny, I never heard of this guy until this morning. Cockney I met in a bar told me about him. A bartender, remember? It was a little cafe near the Plaza de Madrid. It had roosters painted on the walls.
Cafe El Gallo.
Yes, that was his name. Just ask the bartender.
To prove our fairness, I will make Jose make inquiries about the imaginary Cockney when he drives you back to your hotel. But you're not making things easier for yourself by denying your friendship for El Zorro.
When you check up on my story that I met this...
I will save my breath, Senor Lime. Jose will drive you back to your hotel now so you can get some rest. You will need it.
When the gargantuan Jose dropped me at the hotel, I went in one door and out the other, and then I hurried to the railway depot, bought a ticket on the first train out, which wasn't until 3 a.m. I wandered for a few blocks until I saw the reassuring sign, Polizia. Never had any love for the police, but now they represented some protection from General Valdez. After all, he was a revolutionist, an outlaw. The thought gave me a little comfort. I headed into a nightclub across the street and sat down amidst chattering cocktail drinkers. Hadn't been there long when my eyes were... suddenly drawn to one of the most seductively beautiful women I've ever seen. She was a tall, slender brunette. She was sitting alone, with invitation in her eyes. I armed myself with a couple of glasses of champagne, one in each hand. Walked over to a table. You know, it's strictly against the law for beautiful women to sit alone in bar rooms without a drink.
I was waiting for a friend.
Well, I'm very friendly. If I come bearing champagne, if I sat down, would you scream for the manager?
I would not scream very loud. It is bad for my voice.
Ah, you're a singer. I knew it. It was your artistic appearance that appealed to me. That's really why I made like a St. Bernard.
Well, I would like a drink. But you look more like El Lobo to me than a St. Bernard. El lobo is the wolf in Spanish.
You don't like wolves in any language, no?
No, I don't mind. As long as their claws are not too sharp. Some girls pretend they do not like the roving males, but women are all complimented by attention. I like wolves like you.
I love your frankness. What's your name?
I am Consuelo. And you?
Harry. To Consuelo and Harry. I didn't have quite so much on my mind, right?
Oh, poor Harry. You big American businessmen are all alike. All the time you must worry about money matters.
Hmm?
There are other things in life. And anyway, worry does no good.
Oh, you're right. All the worry in the world can't change a thing. We'll have another drink.
Hmm? No.
Consuelo?
No, I'm afraid to drink any more on, an empty stomach. I might lose my head.
Hmm. Well, let's have dinner together first, and then both lose our heads.
Are you a good sport, Harry?
What's up?
You come with me to my little apartamento, and I will cook for you a real Spanish dinner, something you cannot get in a restaurant. It is made with chicken and rice and white wine.
Sounds like quite a dish, Consuelo. May I say the same for you? When she'd given the cab driver her address, Consuelo slithered back in the seat and melted in my arms. This was all to the good. But I started to ask myself why the most beautiful woman in the world had gone for me like it was a combination of Clark Gable and John D. Rockefeller, the best features of each. I opened my Rockefeller, the best features of each. I opened my eyes, only I didn't look at Consuelo. I looked at the driver in the front seat. Even from the back, I recognized him. Driver!
Oh, what is the matter, darling?
I want to see what the driver looks like. Turn your face around this way, driver.
Si, Senor Lyon. Anything to oblige.
Jose, it's like that thought.
You should have begun to think before you bought the ticket at the railway station.
Taken in by the oldest dodge in the world, Harry Lyon.
Now, do not let us forget our manners, darling.
I walked right up to you. You didn't even have to wiggle your little finger. Why are you taking me in this rattletrap, Jose?
Oh, not far in this, Senor Lyon. But this is only the first leg of your journey to Havana.
Still the same old... Did you find out at the cafe that I was telling the truth about the Cockney?
I've been inquired all over concerning a Cockney. General Valdez is right. There is none in town.
The bartender, what did he say? Didn't he remember me?
He remembered you well. He say you drink scotch.
Yes, I drink scotch, but...
He say you were in there all alone. He's not talked to anyone in the cafe.
Well, the whole thing's a dirty brain. I'm not taking it. I'm going to...
Oh, Jose, you hit him so hard.
This time, but with my fist. Perhaps next time, it will be with a bullet. We see how he behaves in Havana.
Orson Welles returns in just a moment as the third man. And now Orson Welles, as the third man, continues with In Pursuit of a Ghost.
Everything was black. Black and purple. With nice little polka dots of green light. This went on for a couple of thousand years. Then I realized I was lying down and the bed was soft, but it kept pitching, sliding out from under me. I could feel the throb of a ship's motor.
He's waking up, General.
For a while, I thought you'd never would.
I hate pulling a line as old as this, but where am I?
We are on our way to Havana, Senor.
I guess that. But this ship.
A private yacht a friend was kind enough to lend us. We are the only passengers aboard, and the crew are all very loyal to me.
That should answer what you really want to know.
You're going ashore to find your friend, to bring him and the money back here. Jose and I will wait on the yacht for you.
Jose's a very rough-looking customer. Yes, Jose, I think you could influence my friend more easily than I.
Neither Jose nor I dare show our faces in Havana. Were our presence known there, it would ruin everything. No, Senor Lyon, you will do the job for us. But you will be watched by our friends, watched every second of the time.
Look, old man, this whole thing is pretty silly. I don't even know the man I'm supposed to find.
Statement is ridiculous. We will not go into that again.
All right, so he's my pal. My pal. I'm supposed to get him to leave Havana and come aboard this yacht. Do you mind telling me how I do it?
That is your problem, Senor. But I can tell you this. If you fail, you will not leave past tomorrow night.
By 2 in the afternoon, I checked in at the Hotel Nacional, wandered along the Prado looking at all the sidewalk tables for somebody who might look like a resourceful New York gangster. I'd consumed half a dozen daiquiris at Sloppy Joe's, but I wasn't any closer to the solution of my problem. Finding a man I didn't know, making friends with him, and persuading him to tuck $1 million in his pocket and come aboard a strange yacht. But if I didn't get back to the yacht with him, well, there wasn't any sense in speculating on that. I'd seen the look in Valdez's eyes. The general was playing for keeps. I walked for endless miles. I took buses. I traveled by cab. Finally, at 3 a.m., I landed about 4 miles out of the city on a little street they call Hot Dog Alley, a sort of skid row lined with Roomba palaces. And there, at a table in one of the noisiest of the joints, I saw him. I knew it was him, tall, dark, and just reeking with rotten money. Also sitting beside him, holding his hand and nuzzling up to him, was Consuela. She was looking straight at me, not making any sign of recognition, so I took my cue from her, wandered over the table, ignored Consuela, and stood looking down. Dim. Hi there.
Here?
I thought for a minute there I recognized you. Maybe I've seen you someplace. Do you happen to be from New York?
Go away. Can't you see I'm busy with a lady?
Funny, you sound like a New Yorker.
Okay, so I'm a New Yorker. A scram.
Anything you say, El Zorro.
Huh? Where'd you get that name?
Well, we can talk about where I got it if you really want to be a little friendly.
Okay, so we'll talk. Only this ain't the place. I'll get rid of the babe and meet you somewhere where we can be alone. Where you stopping?
Nacional.
Go back there and go to your room. I'll call you in an hour or so. Who do I ask for?
Harry Lyon. Be waiting for your call, pal. Who is it?
It is Consuela. Let me in.
All right, babe. Now you're in. Comes next.
Please, we have not much time. Please do not fight with me. I did not know they were bad men, honestly. They said it was some sort of a joke on you, that you were a big businessman and you were working too hard. That they had planned for you a little vacation and you did not want to go.
And then you flew down here ahead of me to help me enjoy my vacation. Well, you happened to bump into El Zorro before I got here. General doesn't even know you're here, huh? Checking up on El Zorro and me.
Oh, you fool. They do not know that I am in Havana. They double-cross me. They do not pay me. So I fly down here for myself, like you say, on my own. I want that money.
Looks like money's going to be a very popular thing. What am I supposed to do, steal it for you?
Listen, Harry. El Zorro dropped me near where he thinks I live about 10 minutes ago. He was going back to his hotel to call you.
What's his real name? What hotel's he at?
His real name is Pietro. He calls himself Pete. He's staying at the La Paz. And he keeps the money right in his room. I know that.
So?
When he calls, you get him to meet you here. You keep him away from his hotel for half an hour, and I get the money.
How nice.
Then, you lose him somewhere. You meet me at the airport. We get a private plane, and we fly to Europe, just you and me.
You and me and $1 million. Makes pretty pictures. Okay.
Harry, what is wrong? Why are you looking at me like that? Don't you trust me, Harry?
What do you think? Of course I trusted you. Not as far as I could throw the Hotel Nacional. Consuelo is a beautiful girl, but nobody's that beautiful. I have a very good nose for a frame-up. I could smell this one a mile away. You may think I'm fussy, but I don't like being played for a sucker. Twice. So I gave the lady time to get started, and then I put in a call. Hello? Hello, Pete?
Yeah.
Harry Lime speaking.
What do you want?
$100,000, Pete.
Quit your kidding. What's all this about?
Well, we're fellow Americans, Pete. I want to do you a favor.
For $100,000?
I know about the million, Pete. I also know that General Valdez and his boys have followed you down here.
Yeah?
They know where you've got the dough, Pete.
Is this on a level?
Not only that, they've got every means of escape all corked up. You're not getting out of here, Pete. Not without my help.
What can you do, Lime?
I can get you out of Cuba alive. I want a fast answer, old man. Let's not quibble over money. You're getting a bargain, $100,000. I slip you out of Cuba into some spot where you'd be safer. I have my own yacht and a crew I can trust.
How do I know you're telling the truth?
Easy, because I'm giving you my first tip off for free. That girl you were with tonight.
Yeah?
Well, old man, she's one of the gang. She's on her way to your place now. Wait 10 minutes, then leave your hotel, give her a chance to get in, then go back. You'll find her going through your thing. I'll give you a chance to settle things with her, and then I'll call for you. Have your things with you, including my $100,000.
It's a deal, Harry Lime. You're a pal.
There was a big crowd outside the La Paz Hotel by the time I got there. It seems a beautiful girl had been arrested robbing a room. The police took her away. Bye-bye, Consuelo. Peter was waiting on the corner. He got my cab. A few minutes later, we were on a tender heading for my yacht.
I appreciate this, Harry.
Oh, that's all right.
There ain't many guys that do this. Not even for 100 G's. Here, want to count it?
Hmm.
100 bills. $1,000 each.
No, old man, I'll check it later. That's the rest of it in the black bag?
Sure, I'd bring all the dough. You don't worry, I'd leave it in Cuba.
No, I guess you wouldn't. Where do you think you want to head?
South America, maybe. I guess I better talk it over with your captain.
Yes, that's a good idea. Well, this is my boat we're pulling alongside of now.
Say, this is a pretty fancy boat.
Well, climb up, old man.
Okay.
Now, just swing yourself over there. That's the boy.
Yeah, pretty nice here.
Yeah, sip shape.
Which way are my quarters?
Go in here to the bar first. What do you say?
Okay, but let's make it a quick one.
I'd like to get some sleep as soon as you show me where I can flop.
I'll show you where you flop, Phil Soro.
Jose.
And there's another friend of yours behind you.
Oh, where? General Valdez.
Adios, Señor El Zorro. Jose, pick up the little black bag our friend El Zorro dropped. He won't need $1,000,000 where he's going. And you go to your cabin, Harry Lime. We'll send for you when we want you.
I've never been very fond of unnecessary arguments, so I went down to my cabin, threw myself on my bunk. I hadn't eaten since I landed in Havana and had too much to drink. But it wasn't only the liquor, I was tired, too. Dead tired. Dimly, I could hear the anchor being raised and the engine starting up. And then suddenly, all Hades broke loose. Now, what in the name of...
There is another of the revolutionists. Kill him, too.
But I'm not one of the revolutionists, I swear. Please.
Ready. And go.
No. Do not fire. He's not one of them.
As you say, your Capitan, the General and the others are all dead. And we can now see to the running of the ship.
Well, Harry Lime, I hope you're proud of your role
just
in the thwarted revolution.
You're
the Cockney I met in the bar that first day, but...
Yes, the Cockney dialect is one of my accomplishments. In Central America, the captain of police must have many disguises.
Captain of the police?
Yes.
But...
You see, you thought you were extracting information from me that first day. You were merely following the powers of suggestion.
Old man, I don't even begin to follow you.
You followed me very well. Every idea I planted in your obviously conniving mind. With your help, we have recovered the money contributed by the poor, misguided citizens of my country. We have erased the revolutionary leader from a place far from his henchmen. And El Zorro, who would have been dangerous yet, is now dead.
Well, then, I'm in the clear, after all. I saved your government
for
you.
Yes, that you have, Governor.
But then part of the money...
You will be permitted to leave our country with every cent you entered with.
Yes, well, old man, I was broke when I arrived.
Yes, you see what I mean, Senor Lime.
Yes, yes, I begin to. I just begin. Lime returns in just a moment. Feel of a roll of greenbacks, 100 grand, warming my breast pocket. Yes, Ernie was a smart cop, but he didn't know about that. But we do, don't we?